Yay! Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and good evening and good evening again. This is Dr. John with Pro Wrestling Interviews. It is so wonderful to be here with everybody as we're all warm inside and outside. Everyone's experiencing cold, rain, sleet, freezing rain and snow. So it's just
My God, it's raining.
Especially, and we've got so many of our friends here. It's really wonderful. And we've got a friend of ours who is our very special guest. I would like to turn the proceedings over to the one, the only, the amazing one from Ravenel, South Carolina, David Kerr, better known to all of us as the Amazing Velvet. Take it away, buddy.
Thank you, Dr. John. I want to start with saying I want to thank everybody who's listening and who's on the line right now for being here. I want to introduce first the maestro, professor, professional wrestling, Papa Stro. How are you tonight?
Great to be with you, brother. I tell you, if there wasn't a Curry man already, it's
right?
You, babe.
Exactly.
The amazing one. Blessed to be
thank
here.
Thank you. Great. All the way from Arkansas herself, we have Granny Hulkster. How are you tonight?
Well, it's very cold, and we've got about maybe a couple inches of snow. We're still under a winter storm warning. But they said the wind chill tomorrow might be as low as 20 below.
Yikes.
So, yeah.
Sounds like Minnesota.
It's, yeah, it's very cold here in Arkansas, and I'm hoping that things will get a little bit better because I leave for Little Rock Thursday, so I'm hoping the roads are not too bad. So, but other than that, I'm good. My husband got called into work tonight, so I'm just chilling. Me and my Basset Hound Maggie, we're keeping each other nice and toasty warm.
Well, there you go. There you go. Well, Steve will be on later. Todd's driving, so Todd, you stay muted. I'd like to introduce our guest this evening. He is none other than the author of the book, Lance by Chance, Benny Berry. Benny, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much.
So my first question is, how did this book come about? How did this start with you?
Well, I have a website called Wrestleville.com where I write stories about wrestlers, veteran wrestlers, guys on the independent scene. And I was talking to James Beard. I was writing a story about him a few years ago, and Lance came up in the conversation. And Lance is always one of those guys that I was just kind of curious about because – you know, they brought him in. They said he was a Von Erich. He wrestled for about a year and a half in Dallas, and then we never really heard much about him. And so, and then every time I would see him, like, on the internet, you know, something about him, you know, people were didn't really have a lot of nice things to say, you know, call him non-Erich or the con or, you know, the fraud or con-Erich or all kinds of things like that, you know. And so I was just always curious about, you know, what happened with that and who was he really and, you know, what happened to him, where did he go. And so anyway, James Beard, after he came up in our conversation a couple times, he said, hey, this is how you can get in touch with him. I reached out to him. He was very receptive to me. He was willing to talk to me, and, you know, I told him I wanted to write an article about him on my website, and his whole, you know, his thought was like, well, who's going to care, and, you know, where are you going to put this, and why do you want to write a story, and do you think people want to read it, and, you know, things like that, and he goes, look, nobody cares. And I was like, dude, I care, you know?
Right.
So,
exactly.
You know, he agreed to do the story with me, and he liked the story so much that I said, look, you got an amazing story. If you ever consider writing a book, please consider me in helping you do that. And he said, write the book. So we worked on
awesome.
It.
Awesome. I mean, that's how it gets started. That's exactly right. I mean, a lot of people don't understand that, you know, stories need to be told. And I think being receptive like that was very good because this story really needed to be told. How long did this process take for you to with him and getting this thing in production?
Well, we started in about August of 2017. So, you know, three and a half years.
Right.
Until it got printed. Maybe a little less than 3.5 years. Call it 3 years.
So, not to go too far into other stuff, but how many people, other people, just name a few, how many other people have you done articles for or books for or anything like that in the wrestling business? And who are some of the top guys you've talked to that actually let you write something about them?
Well, this is my first book of Lance Von Erich.
Okay.
But I have written stories on Harley Race before he passed away, Larry Henning, Tracy Smothers, Ricky Morton, Mike Rapata, Chaz Taylor,
nice.
Kamala, a variety of people that, you know, when I look back over my work on the website is, you know, often I tell myself, wow, I can't believe I got that guy on my website, you know? So.
Yeah, well, we've been the same way with the podcast. We've had some wow moments with some guests, too, as well. So this is something that what got you doing this? Are you a writer by trade? Is that what you did? Or you just love the profession? How did this all work out for you to get into this realm of doing all this on a website, getting this first book? I mean, you know, people want to know how this came about.
Sure. Well, I've always had a passion for writing. I've written for a small town newspaper. I've done, you know, written. If people needed help just writing something, I would always just, you know, like, look, let me help you with that, or let me show you how to do it. It was just something I always liked doing. I've written a lot of short stories and stuff like that. I have a news background. I work for television news for almost 20 years, where I was a news photographer, working very closely with the reporters, putting the news stories on, and, you know, so I had a pretty good idea what good stories are and what news is and how to go about and get information and stuff like that. Well, when I moved to South Texas about years ago, I ran into some guys that were covering the MMA and boxing scene down here. And I did a little amateur boxing. Of course, you know, I had a passion for writing, and I felt very comfortable with my writing skills. And I told these guys that, you know, I do understand boxing a little bit, and, you know, I like to write, and I'd like to go with you guys. And they were like, yeah, sure. So I started running around with these guys. We started, you know, just going to all the boxing and MMA. MMA I wasn't very familiar with, but I learned really quick of the sport. And, you know, so I'm writing about local guys here in South Texas and doing events and previews and, you know, victory stories and stuff like that. And, you know, it kind of spread out to go all over, you know, we're just going all over Texas doing this. And I worked for a couple different websites and a couple different and I worked for a promotion that I was at near the end. I was solely writing for a company who actually they turned me into a matchmaker. I ended up becoming their matchmaker. And how I ended up doing that was that was writing the stories for his company and, you know, helping with PR and promoting the company with his sister, who was like the, you know, I guess, public relations or whatever, you know, her position.
Right.
And he called me one day out of the blue And he goes, man, we're in trouble. We lost our challenger for the championship fight. And I said, well, have you guys reached out to this guy? And they go, no, we don't even know who that guy is. And he goes, I said, well, he's like number four in the state. So, you know, you should know who that guy is. So before you know it, they were coming to me, and because I was covering the scene so well, and, you know, and I knew these people, I knew the fight game. And so
right.
Ended up getting the position. He turned me into his matchmaker, and I did that. When he closed that company, I just had, like, this big hole of – I wasn't writing anymore. And I told my wife, I said, look, I really want to write. And she said, I don't care if you continue writing, but just get your own website, you know, set up your own site, write about whatever you want to write about. And that's how I got into doing the wrestlers. You know, I've had a passion for wrestling all my life, and again, writing as well. And I just decided if I was going to make money or no money, I was just going to do this for the sole satisfaction of something I love doing.
Right. Well, that makes sense. Another question I have is, so since you've been doing a little bit of storytelling and some writing, it's like a twofold question. Who would you have liked to written for that's no longer here? And have you had any really serious hard no's and, like, really hard no's that said, you know, you're not going to touch that again?
Let's see. I guess I kind of don't understand that second part of that question. Can you help me understand
that? Well, the first part of the question is somebody who's gone – from the wrestling business now that's no longer with us, who would you like to have written a story about? The second part of the question is, have you contacted a wrestler that's given you a hard no or hung up on you or whatever?
Oh, okay.
So that you and you won't revisit that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, golly, the wrestler that I'd like to write about that I haven't, I think Dusty Rhodes would be a good story. You know, I
absolutely.
Yeah, I think he would definitely, you know, be interesting. Someone that gave me a hard no. I'm trying to think. You know, I reached out to Bob Roop, and Bob Roop didn't. Wasn't really big on wanting to do a story. He was a nice
guy.
Right. Just he didn't want to do it. And I liked wrestling in his era, and I reached out to him.
Right.
I did reach out to Brian Adidas for the book, to help me on the book, and he was pretty much a pretty hard no about wanting to do that.
Right. So, are you up for some questions now from the people that are hanging on this line here?
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to start with the maestro of professional wrestling, Papa Stro. Take it away.
All right. Thank you very much. So, I know you've had, like, you've been asked a few questions already, but I just want to ask you, like, what, like, through the years, what have been some of your most inspiring experiences with professional wrestling and per se, like, what aspects of it would you like to showcase in your writings to the public in the future?
Well, see, I do apologize, Maestro. I didn't understand the first part. Can you help me?
Okay, sure. No problem. The first part was, what's been some of your most inspirational experiences with professional wrestling 30 years. And the second part was what aspects of the pro wrestling business that you enjoyed would you like to share with your readers in the future, foreseeable future?
Oh, okay, okay. Well, you know what? I love the, you know, the storytelling of wrestling. I love, you know, I was at Texas Stadium when Kerry Von Erich won the NWA world title. And,
yeah.
And I can still remember that day, you know? And that was, what, 40 years ago? Or, you know, 30 plus years ago, you know? Right, you know?
You remember the girl there at the, singing Heaven Need a Champion?
I do remember that girl.
Oh, man. Still gives me chills.
Yeah, I do remember. Were you at that show by chance?
I had a friend that was there at the time, but he recorded something for me to watch. And I must have watched countless times. And the way he described it and the way that what I saw, it was just wow. It was amazing.
Yeah, that was a real special day. That was inspirational. I'll tell you, I go back to that day many times and really enjoyed. That was very inspirational, you know, for wrestling. That helped me. And I like Kerry. I was glad to see that he achieved that. You know, I just like the storytelling of wrestling, and I like telling a good story too. And that was why I wanted to write this book, because, you know, because it was such a good story, and I believe in the story. You know, there's a lot of people that are loyal to the Von Erichs, and they don't like Lance just because he wasn't a blood relative, you know, because he wasn't a real Von Erich. And someone called me out, and, you know, the other day they go, well, we get it. You're a fan of Lance. And I said, look, I'm not a fan of Lance. I can appreciate a good story. And this is a good story. And if you know, if you give it a chance and you read it, you're going to be blown away by what you find out about it. And that's what I like to, you know, to do, is tell good stories. And, you know, since I wrote this book, someone, you know, a lot of people have come out, well, who's next? Who are you going to write about next? And, you know, not that there's not a lot of good stories out there. There are, but, you know, it's going to be hard to find a story that, you know, that even compares to this, you know. I think Kevin Von Erich would be a good story. But, I mean, I'll know what that is. You know, I don't know. I'm going to continue writing. I want to write some more. I just don't know what the next one is, you know. But I do... Mm-hmm. I do love writing, and I love when people appreciate what I write. So I definitely will continue. I just don't know what the next project is right now.
And, you know, Velvet and I talked about Kevin Von Erich here recently, and how, you know, he was pretty much like the foundation of the Von Erich brothers at one point.
Yes, absolutely. On a side note there, Papa Stro, I did talk to Hector today, Hector Guerrero. He said that him and Chavo Classic worked the territory one time and did not cross paths with Lance Von Erich. Because I asked him if he worked Lance, and he did not. So I was like, okay. Because I trying to pick his brain earlier today. So, Dr. John, how are you, sir? Okay, he disappeared. All right, so the Queen of Arkansas, Granny Hulkster.
He's back now. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Dr. John.
Well, Dr. John, do you have a particular question for Vince Barry?
Yeah, I sure do. When you were talking with Lance, did you... I know that the life on the road
with Please Wrestle for Free, better known as the PWF, was wild and crazy. And I get the impression in your book that there were some wild and crazy times back in the traveling days of Lance Von Erich, correct?
Yeah, there was a little bit of craziness.
Yeah, do you have, can you think of one particularly interesting story that wouldn't be too embarrassing for the wrestling world to share?
I'll share something out of the Pacific Northwest Road Stories. They're, they traveled up on the loop up there, and they went to different cities. And they're, if you've traveled a certain area, I guess you can get, if you do it over a period of time, it just kind of like gets a little monotonous. And I think that happened to some of these guys, when they were traveling on some of the same similar highways that they do week after week after week. And one particular time, it was Steve Simpson himself, Lance, at this time he was wrestling as Ricky Vaughn, and Bobby Jaggers, I think Don Running Bear was in the van, Jerry Gray was in the van, and so was Billy Two Eagles, and they were traveling, I believe, to Seattle for a wrestling match, and they were, I think, on Highway 5. I think that was a six-lane highway. Well, anyway, as they're going, and Lance is probably driving, he says in the story, about 80 miles an hour, the he noticed that a one of those small U-Haul trailers detached from the truck that was hauling it, and so it was coming toward them in the highway. And of course, driving at the rate of speed that he was, he thought that they would be killed if they collided with it. And of course, they only have a matter of seconds to react anyway. So the way he explains the story is he'd, turn the wheel and swing into the lane next to him, hoping that he's not hitting, any cars that are might be in his blind spot. And then he would do that, and he said every time that he switched lanes, the trailer would just kind of like drift into that lane, it was making him very nervous. And so he did this a couple times going back. Well, the trailer ended up passing them and not colliding with them, and it eventually kind of rolled over and kind of broke up a little bit on the side of the road, and it made the guys very nervous. That was one. I'll share a particular story that was Lance's first introduction to Portland. So when he got to Portland for his very first day, he had was picked up by Billy Jack. And Billy Jack, he had met Billy Jack in Dallas.
Old Billy Jack.
Billy Jack Haynes, because Fritz had brought...
Yeah, my old tag team partner.
okay. So he brought him in for, some matches down there in world class, and that's where Lance met him. And Lance told Billy Jack that, hey, it looks like I might be going up to Portland. They're talking about sending me to Portland. He said, well, if that's the case, give me a call, and you can stay with me until you settle in and find a place of your own. And that's what happened. And so Lance called him, and Billy Jack picked him up his very first day. And the way the story goes is they had like an off day, so they weren't wrestling that night. But Billy Jack took him to a hotel where he proceeded to go meet the other wrestlers. And as they got to the hotel room, he could hear, a lot of cheering and a lot of hollering and, you know, hooping and hollering going on inside the room, and they proceeded to walk in, and the guys were surrounding the bed. Well, on the bed was another wrestler and a woman doing what, you know, a man and a woman do on a bed, and they were just kind of cheering them on. And,
not watching,
you know,
television.
And, you know, that was Lance's first introduction to wrestling, and they introduced themselves to Lance, and the lady introduced, matter of fact, when the lady saw him in the room, she said, "Oh, look, there's the new guy." And everyone was like, "Hey, how you doing, new guy?" And
new guy, yeah.
You know, he met everybody, and then he just walked into the hotel room, and he was standing outside, and then Billy Jack came to meet him and said, "Welcome to wrestling." And Lance was like, "What the hell did I get myself into?"
Right? Exactly.
You know, and that was his first introduction to wrestling, you know. And so, you know, there are stories like that, and, you know, things like, you know, guys being guys, I guess.
Yeah.
That was the territory where Mad Men was born, the story I told you about a while back. With the bars. The bar territory. Yeah, right. Piper told this funny story about Mad Men back up that territory years ago. And this is hilarious. Oh, my gosh.
So, thank you, Dr. John. So,
all right.
The Queen of Arkansas is waiting. Miss Granny Hulkster, how are you?
Well, I'm good. You know, I've been enjoying listening to the interview and listening to the stories. And I have to tell him that, you know, I purchased that book and I couldn't wait to get it. And when I got it, oh my gosh, I could not put it down. I thought it was absolutely amazing. He even sent me, see, I paid for the autographed copy. And of course, mm-hmm. with Lance being out of the country, you know, he was waiting for the labels, but he went ahead and sent me my book, and then he said, "As soon as I get the autographed label, I'll send it to you." And he most certainly kept his word, and I put the autographed label inside the front cover of the book. That's been an absolute amazing book. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, I just couldn't put it down. I mean, I just absolutely loved it.
Well, Granny, I appreciate you saying that. That makes me feel really good. Thank you.
Well, you know, and of course you mentioned, you know, James Beard, you know, and James Beard is a personal friend of me and my family. I've known James, oh my goodness. I knew James when traditional championship wrestling was running in Arkansas, and that's how I actually met James Beard. And he's a personal friend of ours, and I haven't got to see him for a couple of years, you know, but I got to see him at a wrestling show in Maumelle, Arkansas, you know, for CWA. But, I mean, I have James Beard's book, too. If none of you have ever read James Beard's book, The Third Man, you need to read that book. That's an amazing book as well, so... I mean, just listening to all these stories about, you know, Lance and just everything involved. I mean, you know, being the wrestling fan that I am, I mean, we were supposed to have a wrestling show last night in Arkansas. And of course, with the weather, it got postponed to a later date. But I love my wrestling. You know, anybody that knows me knows that Granny loves her wrestling. And I mean, I mean, I can talk smack to the biggest heel there is, and I'm not afraid to do it. So, you know, matter of fact, I was at a show for Purge for WCWA back the end of January, and one of the wrestlers, he came up from Texas. He was making his debut, and of course, all the wrestlers in the background told Christian Mox about me. And so, you know, he's like, "You crazy woman, sit down and shut up and go back to the home." And I, of course, I was on the front row.
And I'm like,
no, not you.
And yeah, you know, he comes out wearing like a football jersey, and he, you know, he's doing the Texas Longhorn sign, and of course that just proceeded for everybody to do the Arkansas Razorback thing, woo pig suey, you know, Arkansas Razorback, woo pig suey, Razorbacks, you know, and he didn't like that. But when he told me to sit down and shut up, I said, Mox, if you think you're man enough, why don't you step out of the ring and walk down here and tell me that to my face and see what happens. And immediately,
yes,
everybody started chanting, Granny, Granny, Granny. And he's putting his hands over his ears. No, don't say her name. Quit saying her name. Well, the more he said that, the louder the chant got.
Now, just you listen, because I'd
you
be
know,
I'm a pretty seal.
Well, you know, I mean, he obviously did not like them chanting my name, but you know,
of course
but
not.
That being said,
like saying Hogan.
Well, I hope they're changing name for the right reasons, Granny.
Oh, sure,
right?
You know I love you. You know I love you guys. You guys are amazing. You guys are awesome. But
oh
my
gosh.
One of my questions, what was your most favorite part of that book that you wrote about Lance? I know that's probably a hard question because I'm sure there was a lot of favorite, you know, stories, you know, but what was your most favorite story of that book that you wrote? Or one of your most favorites?
Well, that really is a good question. You know, the book, if when you look at it, it's kind of broken down into three parts, right? You know, him being discovered and being sent up to Portland, and then him coming back to World Class and his time working there, and then him going overseas and what he did overseas. And I've read the book many, many times through. I think I really start somewhere around, I think, 9-10 on. I mean, I really like the overseas stuff, you know, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Him going to South Africa and him, you know, him riding the bikes to Zaire or the Republic of Congo, him doing his auto part gun trading and stuff like that because it's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
I like that part of the book, but I was really just pleased with the story, you know, and how it did come out because, you know, when I started working on it, I had all this information and I was like, how am I going to connect all this? How am I going to,
mm-hmm.
you know, make it readable and understandable for other people, you know? And that was a bit challenging. And finally, I, you know, kind of came up with a way of how I was going to tell the story. But yeah, I think the stuff overseas is interesting only because I didn't know what it was like over there. And it was fun hearing those stories and writing them with him, you know.
That's awesome.
What was your favorite part?
Oh, gosh, there's just so many. I just enjoyed it. I can't really pick out one favorite one because I have so many. It just was an awesome book. I mean, the stories just, you know, because I remember, you know, seeing him wrestle, you know, as Lance Von Erich. You know, I remember the stories. And, you know Dr. John has talked to you before, you know, that I was on one of the podcasts with you all before. And
right.
It just, you know, and that's why I purchased the book because I wanted to, you know, I wanted to get the background of everything that happened. That's why I purchased the book because I just, like I said, being the wrestling fan that I am, but there was just so many interesting things. I mean, it just, the list is too many to mention in my opinion, but for anybody that has not read that book, they need to read that book. I mean, if they're a true wrestling fan, they should get that book and read that book.
Absolutely. Well, I got 5 copies right here. Malcolm just got the autograph stickers I'm going to put into them, and then Papa Stro, you'll get yours. Todd, you'll get yours. And Dave and whoever else I need to give a book to. so all of y'all will get that.
Hopefully not throw the book at, but yeah.
No, sure. No, let's not throw the book at anybody. No, let's not do that. Not yet, anyway. So being that you had this huge conversation with Lance, what did he absolutely – because I know he didn't want to be a wrestler. I mean,
right.
That's an actual factual. He did not want to become a wrestler.
Right.
How did that happen that he just – his mind got changed or somebody changed it for him? How did that happen?
Well, he was in his 20s, and somebody came up to him and said, you can make a lot of money in professional wrestling. So he – that was it, you know, and he likes making money, and you know, he thought he could make a lot of money in the business, and he
right. That's usually how it happens,
thought,
yeah.
You know.
right. Oh, he hit the market at the right time, though. If you really look at it, even though that was the wrong thing to do for him, I think, to be a Von Erich, and I think a lot of people would say the same thing, but they haven't read the book, so once they read the book, they can pull it full circle. But he really did hit the market at the right time. Wrestling was hot. It was hot in Texas. Things were going in the right direction, you know, when he got picked up. So, you know, I mean, we can say shoulda, woulda, coulda. He could have gone WWF. He could have gone – you know, wherever, you know, WCW, whatever. I mean, we can say all that, but, you know, we'll never know because he didn't
right.
do it. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is, so once he got into it and then got out of the Lance Von Erich thing, did he actually get to enjoy the wrestling part of it at that point when he got away from the moniker of being a Von Erich, or did he just go through the motions and then just said that, you know, I'm calling it a career?
Well, when
I'm sure
when,
you talked about it.
Yeah. When he, okay. So what happened with him leaving Dallas and World Class, you know, just to kind of paint some kind of a picture of what happened, because a lot happened,
yeah.
You know, and when he left World Class, he had hurt his shoulder, and he just stopped going in to get healthy, but it was kind of like a stalemate. You know, he was fed up. He was, you know, he was wrestling twice a night. He was covering for, you know, the Von Erich brothers. At this time, Mike Von Erich wasn't wrestling because of his recovery from toxic shock syndrome. Kerry just had his motorcycle accident, and Kevin was dealing with a shoulder injury, and he was the only Von Erich on the card. And he got a little fed up about that, and... in the Von Erichs, and even Ric Flair says in the book, you know, the Von Erichs had a reputation of not always honoring their commitment. And whether that was because my dad owns the promotion, or maybe they, who knows what their reasoning was, but they did have a reputation. Everybody I interviewed said that, you know, they didn't always honor their commitments. And so Lance was picking that stuff up. And so come April, May of 87, Lance had this shoulder injury, and stopped going in, and he didn't call, and they didn't call him, and it basically turned out to be like a stalemate, and he was looking for a way out, and he was kind of, well, was planning on leaving, you know, and he went to South Africa to wrestle for Steve Simpson's dad and basically stayed. And Fritz went on TV and, you know, broke kayfabe and said that he wasn't a real Von Erich. And so when he went to South Africa, he kept the name Lance Von Erich. And he wrestled until 1996 as Lance Von Erich. But when he wrestled over there in South Africa, you know, he was a little more comfortable. He didn't have the pressure on him. He didn't have to, you know, when he was over here in Dallas, you know, it was emphasized that, hey, you can't outshine the boys. Well, he was like, how am I going to outshine the boys? They've been wrestling longer than me. They've probably been wrestling their dad in the living room or in the backyard since they were little kids.
Right.
And he didn't want to be a wrestler anyway, so he was like, I'm not going to outshine the boys. But he had this pressure on him that, you know, and of course, Bruce Brody says to him, he says, hey, don't let the boys outshine you. It's your ring, too. You go out there and be Lance Von Erich. You know, and so I'm sure he struggled with that, you know. Like, oh, man, I can't do this. They're going to say something about that. Oh, man, I can't do this. And so by the time he got to South Africa, that pressure was off him. And he could be whoever he wanted to be. He could do whatever he wanted to do. And he said, you know, that was the time that he started really enjoying wrestling. You know, and he wasn't wrestling.
Absolutely.
7 days.
Right. He wasn't wrestling. Well, exactly. Back in the territory days, you wrestled every day.
Sure.
Twice on Saturday for TV. So, yeah, that's crazy. I mean,
hey,
Amazing
Velvet, I want to let you know we got
Steve,
the Professor
Steve
Wrestling.
Logan's
Steve
here.
Logan is on with us. Yep.
Steve, are you here?
Oh, yeah. Listening.
All right, well, fire away. If you got a question, fire away.
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Oh, good. Need to finish the book, but I'm glad I got it. And is there any Japan or overseas stories you can share?
Yeah, so Lance goes to Japan, and when he's being trained, you know, he spends some time with Kelly Kaninsky, and Kelly Kaninsky tells him, hey, look, you ever get a chance to go to Japan, that's where you're going to make your money, you know. And so, lo and behold, there he goes. In October of 86, Fritz sends him over for a tour to Japan. And, of course, the style is different and the culture is different. And Lance had never been to Japan. And he had trouble adjusting to the culture. And he wasn't comfortable over there. And, of course, he couldn't speak the language. And, you know, he wasn't used to just the way they did things. And so he was there for a few days before his very first wrestling match, and he decided that he was going to just drink until it was time to wrestle. And the hotel he was staying at didn't have any beer, but they had plenty of scotch, and he drank scotch. And the day he came to wrestle, he was drinking, and he drank himself into a pretty drunken state. And when he went to go wrestle, he was so intoxicated that the match didn't last very long, and he just describes it as a horrible nightmare. So,
wow.
When he went back into the dressing room, he was approached by Don Callis, who was wrestling Ackle. And Don just walked up to him and said, what the hell was that, and how did you get over here in Japan? And he said, well, my boss set this up. And he says, well, that was awful. And he was like, yeah, I know. So,
yeah, I wasn't drinking, buddy.
Well, the next couple, I guess the next night or maybe a night later in the week, he had another match. And Don approached him again and said, hey, you had a much better night tonight. And he says, yeah, I was drunk the other day. And he goes, yeah, I would imagine that's what I kind of suspected that, you know. And Lance ended up going AWOL. He just the next day he just left the tour and went to Hawaii and stayed in Hawaii until it was time for him to go back to world class, and he did. And when he did, of course, Fritz brought him into the office and gave him a good butt chewing.
Man, that's an interesting story, because Don Callis right now is pretty relevant with AEW and Kenny Omega, and he's working with Impact. So I didn't expect his name to be – I didn't expect him to be on that tour, so that's pretty cool. And then I did want to ask, I think you mentioned you went to a Star Wars event, one of the world-class big events, and I think you mentioned Giant Baba was on that card. That's a pretty great appearance. Like, it's, I'm sure it's pretty rare to see someone like Baba on an American show.
Yes, yes. That was the International Star Wars. I think it was June of '83. Was one of my very first wrestling matches. Matter of fact, I was a dishwasher. And I told them I was sick so I could go to that, and they found out, and they gave me the rest of the weekend off so I could feel better, but I did, I got better. But yes, man, that was an amazing card. It was they called it International Star Wars. Jumbo Tarudo wrestled Ted DiBiase. Baba wrestled King Kong Bundy. Harley Race defended the NWA title to Kevin Von Erich. David Von Erich wrestled for the Texas title against Jimmy Garvin. Chris Adams was on that card. He was new to the territory.
Nice.
Iceman King Parsons and Buddy Roberts had the hair match. They wrestled with the cream and everything. So that was a card. You know, that was for my very first wrestling match, so that was pretty special.
Yeah, I had to do a search on YouTube for it, because it seems like they might have only shown that, you know, for the Japanese feed. So luckily I was able to find it on YouTube. But yeah, I thought that was cool to see a card with that much Japanese or foreign talent. Jumbo Tsuruta is one of my friend's favorite Japanese wrestlers, so that's pretty cool that you were able to see that card.
Yeah, I always enjoyed when I went to matches, especially back then, you know, to be able to see some of these guys that, you know, I knew that I'm probably never going to see this guy wrestle in person again, right? You know, I mean, especially someone who lives over in Japan. And yeah, that was pretty special for me.
Was there any wrestlers that are kind of mainstream that Lance might have seen in world class? Because I imagine, like, Undertaker started in, like, 86 probably and was only there briefly. But I'm just wondering, like, what's the biggest stars that Lance kind of either saw or worked with in world class?
Well, you know, Lance worked with Jim Hellwig. He was the Dingo Warrior before he became the Ultimate Warrior. That was a pretty big. You know, Lance worked with wrestled with Bruiser Brody in tag team matches about 10 times.
Oh wow!
And you know, there's he talks about Bruiser Brody and his friendship with Bruiser Brody in the book. You know, somebody talked to me. I was talking to somebody about a week ago, and they said, "Wow, I really like the part about Bruiser Brody in your book," because he said everything that I've ever read about Bruiser Brody, you know, people say that he was a bully and he was hard to get along with. And that wasn't Lance's experience at all. You know, Lance said that he was a great guy. He was willing to share the business. He was an encourager. He, you know, he loved the business, and he wanted to see people respect the business, and he was willing to share advice, and he did that with Lance, and Lance respected him, and Lance liked the fact that, you know, the guy came to work and kept his word and did what he said he was going to do. You know, he wasn't a womanizer. He didn't drink heavily. Sometimes he might have a beer, but that was rare. You know, he said he was a dedicated husband and a dedicated father, and he was a good businessman. He had an eye for the, you know, he had a keen eye for the wrestling business, and that's what the guy I was talking to last week, you know, he said, man, I just really liked hearing that stuff. Because I've always heard the one-sided stuff that he was hard to get along with, and he was a bully and this and that, you know, and you know, so I liked hearing that, you know what,
yeah,
different people's opinions and or different thoughts of their take on that.
Right, absolutely. Well, there's always two sides to every story, so you can't believe one over the other until you have the actual facts. I've always said that. Got to have the actual facts. You know what? That's not a guy I would run make mad. As a booker or promoter.
Right.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, and I think those stories come from somebody made him mad. And that happens in the business. You know? Not
very
everything's
protective of his
Well, he was very protective of the business, and if you weren't showing the respect to it, he was gonna tell you about it, that's for sure. I mean, he didn't pull any punches in or out of the ring when it came to the business. You know, you're going to do it right. So that's good. That's good to hear a good side of that, too. I didn't read all of the book yet either. I'm about halfway. Did Lance actually wrestle in any kind of match with Ric Flair at some point or no?
He did. Matter of fact, right after he wrestled Ric Flair twice, and he wrestled Ric Flair shortly after he went down to Dallas. He wrestled Ric Flair for the world title, and then he wrestled Ric Flair another time in a non-title match. But he wrestled a few, you know, several times when Ric Flair was on the card, but he. Professionally, he wrestled against him two times in his career, and said by far he was the best wrestler he ever stepped in the ring with.
Oh, absolutely, he was a machine back then. He was crazy. Yeah. Anybody
like
else jump up and down?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Hey,
he's
got
another.
I like
one. Would
players work
I'll
with Kerry.
Yeah, let Todd get in here, Steve. Hang on a second.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Hey, I want to ask, given that the greater DFW area is under some lousy weather, everything's good with you? You're okay?
Oh, yeah. I'm in South Texas. We're supposed to get some freeze tonight, but, I mean, no one's going to be driving down here because nobody drives when they say stay off the roads down here, people actually do because they don't
know
how to
drive
at night.
Yeah, I've got some family and friends throughout the region there, and I mean, for the first time I think I've ever seen the whole state of Texas had the same weather forecast, and that's as big as the state of Texas is. That's pretty unusual. So yeah, just making sure you're warm and all that, because it's not real common weather for Texas. So the important thing is that you're good and safe.
Right. Thank you. Yes, we are. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. The one of the things I wanted to ask you about, you've got to talk to a bunch of people, interview people, do a bunch of articles and stuff. Was there anyone that their intensity and their passion when you were talking with them just kind of swept you away with them?
You know what? Harley race was something else, man. I called him. I was doing a story on the Professional Hall of Fame when they when him and Larry Henning were inducted as a tag team together.
Okay.
And I reached out to Larry Henning, and he was gracious enough to talk to me about his thoughts on being inducted in the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. And he says, well, what did Harley have to say? And I said, well, I hadn't talked to Harley. And he goes, well, you got to talk to Harley. And he gave me his number. And so I called Harley, and Harley was like, yeah, sure, I'll talk to you. Well, I had talked to him that night, and we didn't talk very long. And he said, hey, why don't you give me a call tomorrow? And he said, call my gym tomorrow, and the guy there will send you a picture of me for the story. And I said, oh, okay, great. Well, when I called the next day, Harley answered the phone, and Harley proceeded just to talk to me about wrestling again and told me some more stories. And I got another story out of him and wrote another, you know, so I wrote like a couple stories about him that were different for the website. And he, when I got done, I said, man, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. I'm glad I called today. And he goes, you know what, Vinny? I'm glad you called today too. And I just knew that guy just loved talking about wrestling. You know, he just loved talking about it. And he was
man.
Just so gracious.
Some of the stories he told about Lawler are great. If you get a chance to look them up.
Okay.
Classic.
That's pretty awesome. Thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to answer, sir.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just don't ever fall him to a town. Good Lord. He's got to be seasick so many times. Fall him to a town. He drives like NASCAR.
Oh,
I said, next time. Last time he did it to me, when we got to the town, I was like, Hurley, next time, brother, let me ride with you, because I found you in an adventure.
Wow. That's funny.
It's great.
Hurley had a really good relationship with Pro Wrestling Noah in Japan, too, in his later years. It was like a second family to him, so it was pretty neat. Learning about it after his passing.
Absolutely. He was rough and rugged now. He didn't mess around either.
I remember the time that Flair got mad at him because Flair was doing a tribute to him, right? And talking about, you know, what a big deal he was, you know? And he saw Harley Race sipping on iced tea in the front row. And he's like, Harley, I can't believe you. After I'm telling everybody what a bad son of a gun you are, and you're here sipping iced tea, come on, I'm gonna bring you to the bar with me to redeem yourself.
That is awesome.
Hey, Vinny, this is Dr. John. I got a kind of an overview question. Could you explain a little bit about Lance's relationship with the Von Erichs, who, you know, I mean, a lot of people don't know, and it's in your book, but I mean, it's an interesting thing. Who liked him, who didn't? Who tolerated it, who thought it was great? So the Von Erichs.
Okay, yeah, so obviously, you know, bringing in Lance as a Von Erich and putting the Von Erich name on him was David Manning and Fritz Von Erich's idea. And, you know, Lance says that he didn't have a lot of interactions with Fritz. He said that Fritz seemed to like him pretty well, you know, that he took a liking to him, and he treated him with respect. You know, he felt like he, you know, like he was good with Fritz, you know. Like I said, Fritz did yell at him that one time. He said that Fritz got mad at him one time, and, you know, he deserved it because he bailed on his commitment, you know. Kevin was never big on the idea. Kevin was never big on the idea of putting a name on him, and they had a working relationship. They weren't close. You know, they didn't hang out. They didn't drive to the towns together. They didn't do a lot of chit-chatting. He never did really any of that with Mike either, but Mike was quiet. You know, Mike was shy and reserved. He said that, you know, with Mike and Kevin, you know, he basically really had a working relationship with those guys. He was in, he said, I can't tell you how many tag team matches I was in with Kevin and Mike, you know, but it was like a working relationship. Hey man, we got a job to do. Let's do our job and I'll see you tomorrow and we'll do it again. And that was basically their relationship, you know. With Kerry, on the other hand, you know, they liked each other and they were friends and they got along very well. And Kerry had such a outgoing personality, you know, it was hard not to get along with him. You know, he liked to see people laugh and he liked to you know, many people had told me that, you know, Kerry was so good about making yourself feel so good about yourself when you walked away from him that, you know, that he'd always compliment you, or he just knew how to treat people in such a way where when you got done talking to Kerry, you just felt good, you know? And so he got along well with Kerry, and him and their wives, the four of them, would hang out and have dinner and maybe some drinks and visit with each other. And so he got along very well with Kerry.
Awesome.
You know, can I ask one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Vinny, Undertaker talked about getting booked for World Class, and he said that Fritz saw him in the hallway and told, you know, somebody to book Taker because he looked like David. Do you think that would have been a kiss of death for Undertaker if they, instead of making him Texas Red, they, you know, make him into like a Von Erich, like Lance?
Well, if that did happen, that would have happened after Lance had come in, and so I
True.
Would think they probably learned their lesson that, you know, maybe it didn't work out the first time that they did it. I actually heard that story. I've heard this story. So, but I really don't know much other than just hearing it, you know, and that Fritz, yeah, that he did have a resemblance, or Fritz did have think that he had a resemblance to David, but I don't know if they would have ever kind of, I think they would have learned from their previous venture down that road. I don't think they would
That's
have done
point.
That again. Who's to say?
Right. I like to circle back to something. I circle back. Everybody hang on. Just a comment to Vinny. You mentioned the class of the Professional Hall of Fame 2017, which you said Larry Hennig and Harley Race went in as a tag team. Do you know who else went into that class? That's one of our favorites.
Oh, yeah, Susan Green.
Bingo. That's who trained me. So, yeah, I have to pay homage to her anytime there's something mentioned about the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Or
she'll beat me up. You know what I'm saying? She'll beat me up if I don't. I don't want that again. Had enough of that.
And
go
if
ahead,
I
Dr.
Can
John.
Say,
oh, go ahead.
If I can say something about the book that I'd like people to know and understand is, yeah, of course it's a book about Lance Von Erich. You know, it's about his experience in the wrestling business and what he experienced and what he went through. But what I think people are going to be really surprised when they read it is that, you know, they're going to find out that Portland's covered in there pretty good. And then World Class is covered in there pretty good. And that there's a, you know, somebody asked me the other day, goes, well, why is there a chapter on Gino Hernandez when Lance came out and said, hey, I only knew him for 4 months and I wasn't very close with him at all. And they were reviewing the book and they asked me, well, why would you put a chapter of Gino Hernandez in there? And I told him, I said, look, you know, that was such a monumental incident. You know, it was so tragic, and it was just so, you know, he was a huge heel. He was, I mean, he was one of those guys that people just loved to hate, you know. And when he overdosed and died, man, I tell you, man, the people were sad up there, you know. And I think that was our, you know, it was just one of those things that you just couldn't tell in a paragraph. You know, I really felt he deserved a spot in the book where, you know, people who didn't know who Gino Hernandez was, I felt like they needed to read about him. And I think that his story needed to be told. And that was why he got a chapter in the book. I thought that you couldn't tell the world-class story without doing something like that. And, you know, David Manning said, he goes, look, you know, we could have, he said, that promotion probably could have survived with maybe one of those deaths of David Von Erich, Gino Hernandez, and Mike Von Erich, he says, but not all three. And he really thought that, you know, the death of all those three young men was left the fans up there in Dallas-Fort Worth brokenhearted. And they just lost their passion of watching wrestling in that area. You know, it was a very sad and tragic thing that happened, you know, and that's why, you know, I wanted to write about him like that and have that chapter of him. And, you know, there are people that are going to read stories about Chris Adams and, you know, some of the things that happened to him. There's a story in there that's probably never been told until, you know, now and there. And I think there are people that will be surprised about that. And so, and also, too, in there, you know, people are going to see a side of Mike Von Erich, you know, that, you know, he really didn't want to wrestle. You know, he wanted to work at the family business, but he wanted to work on the production crew. He didn't want to be a wrestler either. So him and Lance kind of share that, you know, that they didn't have a passion for the business. You know, and I think people are going to be surprised that, you know, the office came to Lance and said, hey, you know, you got to go to Mike's funeral. He said, well, I wasn't planning on going, and I didn't know him very well. He says, you got to go. You know, you need to go. You know, and he went, and they brought him in the private room where the family was. And Lance talks about how uncomfortable that was for him and how he had no business being in the room where Mike's body was. And he had no business being back there with the family. And he said, wow, you know, it was made very clear to him that they were trying to make him look like he was part of the family. And he, you know, he says in the book, he says, hey, you know, wrestling is wrestling, but this was real life. And he had no business being there. So I think when people read stories like that, they're really going to see, you know, in the book also talks about how the territories were run and how the NWA title was managed and cared for, and how, you know, know, how important that responsibility was to have a champion who was dependable and somebody that you can count on, because he was defending that thing every single night. And again, it goes back to Kerry. You know, Kerry, they put that title on Kerry for 19 days. And, you know, it had a lot to do with how he carried himself as champion, and also to his reputation of not being responsible for showing up to all of his matches. So, you know, I think people are going to be really surprised about how the story is told and really what's in the book. You know, they, like I said, people are going to think, oh, it's a book about Lance, which it is. But, you know, they're going to walk away knowing a little bit more than what they thought they were going to, going in on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said. Dr. John?
Yes, sir. I've got a question that might prove to be unpopular, but I don't care. I've done it before. I guess you could, in my opinion, there are many similarities between the Von Erichs and the Anderson clan. None of them were related. Why did there not seem – there seemed to be problems with Von Erichs adding Lance to the roster when it didn't seem like there were many problems with the Andersons. They just went out there, beat the hell out of everybody, did a great job, and went home to Toccoa, Georgia. You know, I mean, it's like, why were there – how and why did problems develop with anybody?
Dr. John, you break it up.
Okay, is that better?
You're
can
right.
You hear me better?
Popular the way it sounds.
Okay, is that better? Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Hello. Okay, good. Why did there seem to be such contention? I mean.
Well, that's the million-dollar question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. You know, and what's very interesting about that is nobody gives Waldo Von Erich a hard time. Nobody gives Waldo Von Erich a hard time. And I don't know why that is, you know, and he's not a relative either. So it's, you know... I don't know. It's, you know, the reason why Fritz put the name on Lance was you got to understand how popular that territory was, or how the Von Erich boys were rock stars. They had rock star status, and you needed a Von Erich on the card to draw the people. And when the Von Erichs weren't there, There was they didn't meet the expectations they had for the money draw, you know, and so they needed a Von Erich, and
Lance,
you know,
was it.
Yeah, and Fritz, you know, thought that by creating Lance Von Erich, they would do that. And of course, things didn't work out as well. Like I said, he kind of stalemated. And I think Fritz, the reason why Fritz went on TV, this is what Lance thinks, that why Fritz went on television and broke kayfabe and said that he wasn't a real Von Erich was because he thinks that Fritz thought that he was going to take the name up there to WWF at the time.
Right. Right.
And that's why Fritz came on television.
Not even got to do it.
Did that. But yes,
right.
That is the million-dollar question. Why don't they give the Andersons or the Valiants or anybody else a hard time for not being real relatives?
Right. Yeah,
people can't let Lance, live it down. You know, it's
right.
Really weird.
All right. Dr. John, let Papa Show back on real quick. He got cut off. Vinny, what was I going to – oh, Did anybody from Dark Side of the Ring reach out to Lance that you know of or not?
No. To my knowledge, no, they have not.
I think that would be an awesome if they did that. That would be because I think people will read the book and get it, but some won't. I think they need a visual, and I think that would be awesome to do.
Okay, let's rewind a little bit, okay? Let's get back to the Anderson Von Erich comparison.
Okay.
I mean, that's like comparing apples to oranges there. I mean, think about it. I mean, the Andersons was the most feared heel villainous family in the history of wrestling. And then which on the opposite side of the spectrum, you had the Von Erichs was the most beloved, one of the most beloved families in not just Texas, but of all pro wrestling. And it's like, you know, as you're mentioning about why he was given the Von Erich name per se. I mean, with Marty Lunday, you know, he had the look, he had the Anderson style patented down, and they took him in as their own. I mean, no more or less like with C.W. Anderson, ECW, he had the Anderson look and everything, and he got Orange Blessing, to don the name Anderson itself. So, I mean, it's just like, just the whole comparison to Von Erichs and Anderson, the two totally different spectrums of the wrestling industry.
Yeah, true.
Totally different.
Well, you know what? But another comparison to Lance would be Lars Anderson, because Lars Anderson didn't last very long either, and nobody believed him either. You know, so
and he wasn't Anderson.
Right, but he did. But they figured he didn't fit, so they kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
And he went away.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, that's the comparison. So, Vinny, how can people like ourselves, fans, and anybody get to see what you've written, you know, your web page, if you're on Facebook, any social media, how can we get a hold of you or talk to you or just see your stuff?
Yes, you can go to lancebychance.com and you can purchase the book there. There's also, you know, you can go on there and you'll see the chapters that are in the book. You can see, read a little preface of what's, you know, kind of synopsis of what's in the book, you know, and there is a foreword written by David Manning and Kevin Von Erich and Dusty Wolf. I think a lot of people would be surprised that, you know, Kevin did contribute something to the book, and he also did contribute some information about Japan. And when I told the story about Japan, I told half of it. So to read the second half of that, you know, you'd have to read the book. But
read
you can
book.
Go to lancebychance.com.
Yep, I'm going to have to do that later.
And you can find me also to Russellville.com. That's where you can read my stories, my profile stories on professional wrestlers in the business from today and yesteryear. And you can find me Vincent Berry on Facebook. You can find me Vinnie Berry on Twitter. And, you know, you can reach out to me. And on both those websites, you can contact me and send me a email, and if you have any questions or whatever, reach out to me. But yes, you can get the book at www.lancebychance.com, and I'd love for you to read the book, and I really think that you would enjoy it. I had several people who were not wrestling fans that were helping me, when I was right before I published the book to help me kind of smooth it out and get the flow going. And one guy told me, he said, look, I hate wrestling. And I don't find any enjoyment in it at all, but give me three chapters and I'll do the best I can. He called me up the next day and said, give me the rest of the book, man.
Right, see?
And he read that thing in 2 days.
Wow.
So,
Vinny, this is Dr. John. I've got an assignment for you. It's very important. I need a 100-word essay that tells each one of those sites so that I can put it right up on Pro Wrestling Interviews on our Facebook page. Can you Can you get that assignment done in a couple of days and send it to me, sir?
Yes.
Great. That
nice.
Just solved a major problem.
Right?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You didn't know where you got to do homework, did you, on this interview?
Right.
See how these guys
right,
are?
Exactly.
See how these guys are? See these guys are?
We're tough.
Hey,
tough crowd here.
Papa Stroh, by hook or by crook, we will get you any way we can.
Oh, you Rivers. Yeah, no doubt.
Right.
Hey, can I ask another question?
Sure.
Was there somebody that you wish you could have profiled or done a book on and just haven't yet?
I think there's a couple guys that I would love to write about. I would love to, I'd love to write something with Kevin Von Erich. I think
wow.
He has a powerful story. I think that would be just amazing, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
To write about with him and about his family. I think Ken Patera has a really good story.
Yeah,
Ken
Patera. All right.
You know, and so those are two on top of my head. I think if I had a little more time to think, I could probably come up with, maybe another name. But those are two that,
right.
Are just, on the forefront of my mind that I think would have mind-blowing stories that I would really enjoy to put my style to.
Speaking of Kevin, since he did a little bit of the forward and gave you some Japanese stuff, so what you're saying is he receptive to doing that with you or not?
He is, well, at this time I would say no, because we haven't, it's more of a thought than anything.
Right.
I will say this, at Christmas time, we received an email from Kevin, and Kevin read the book, and Kevin told Lance that he was he never saw it from Lance's point of view, and now that he has, he kind of understands how things unfolded the way that they did. And you know, he told Lance that, nobody could have done what you did and what you were asked to do. You know, nobody else could have done it. And so that was nice for Kevin to admit that and say that. And I
That's
think,
good.
Hey, Vinny, this is Dr. John. I've asked the million-dollar question. I've asked the trillion-dollar question, and I'm going to ask the zillion-dollar question right now.
Oh,
because
boy.
I want to be the first
okay, Dr.
person
Evil.
To ask. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Is everybody ready? Would you please
yes.
issue an invitation to Lance Von Erich to come on to our show? And if he does, we would like to have you back as well.
Sure, I will.
How's that
I
one?
Will. I will talk to Lance. Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you,
absolutely.
Sir.
We'd love to have
Absolutely.
Him on here.
Absolutely.
There's
the
zillion-dollar question.
Yeah. He said a name. He said a name earlier that I will talk to in a couple of months. I sent a feeler out to Ken Patera to be on the show, and Ken told me to talk to him in a couple of months. So I said, okay. So hopefully we'll have him
awesome.
On in a couple of months.
That would be great.
Yes, it would.
And I want to be sure to announce to everybody before we all forget it tonight, as the British lady gets closer and closer, we do have
right.
the Carolina Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame induction, April the 3rd in Charleston, South Carolina, with the likes of Susan Green, the likes of Papa Stroh, and others who will be inducted to this soon-to-be great, great organization. For all the great things that they have done throughout their lives to promote wrestling, to promote friendship, and to excite people. God, I sound like somebody from the Cauliflower Alley Club, don't I?
Oh, Lord.
Which venue is this?
April 3rd.
Which venue is this?
Which venue? Pardon?
Where is it being taken place?
It'll be at Holy City Brewing in North Charleston.
Oh, I'm sorry. Holy City Brewing Company in North Charleston.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
I couldn't quite hear you, Steve. But, yeah, it'll be Holy City Brewing Company. Go online. I'm going to get all that up tomorrow. As soon as Vinny gets me his essay, I will put up the particulars for the Carolina Wrestling Hall of Fame, and it's going to be wonderful. And we've got great people coming there, and it's kind of like a dream come true for me that I was able to get this started, and I was able to convince that badass Velvet to help me. And then talk to Papa Stroh, and Papa Stroh seemed pretty happy, and Susan Green jumped all over it, and they are kind of our linchpins. They are kind of the people that keep me going on this, and we hope it's going to be wonderful, and all that good stuff. So, well, I think it will be. Now, we got 5 minutes for the British lady talk.
All right.
Velvet, you got 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
Well, all right, here we go. Granny, 30 seconds.
I just want to tell everybody to stay safe, have a good rest of your night, have a great week ahead, and stay warm if you're where it's cold out like I am right now. And, you know, just I love each and every one of you. And I only wish I was closer, Dr. John, so I could see that great Hall of Fame. I mean, you know, I just wish I was a lot closer. So.
Well, maybe we'll film it so you can see it. How's that?
Yeah, thank you. We got a few things up our sleeve.
I got five sleeves. My actual middle name is Adams.
All right.
So,
Todd, what you got? Let Todd go.
Hey, real quick, I'm going to donate most of my time to make up for everybody else here the way it already started. Big love. Stay safe. Take care of one another. Thank you for being here, Vinny.
Thank you.
Steve?
Just thanks for having me on. Enjoyed the interview. Hoping to finish that Lance by Chance book and check out the links later. Thanks.
Awesome. Papa Stroh?
Vinny, it's been a pleasure, brother. I would ask you a question, but they took all the money. So no questions here, but thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, absolutely. And if I can, I'd like to I'll get your number from John, and I would like to do a profile story on you for my website. So
anytime, bro.
That would be
okay.
Great.
Ready.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Can't wait. In the room Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VSNation.com. WCW Retro this Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VSNation.com. And this Friday night, my horror sci-fi show, The Stroh Zone, at midnight Eastern Standard Time, with the feature being Diary of a Madman, starring Vincent Price.
Yes.
Please tune in.
Yes, I'm going to watch that. Awesome.
Great stuff.
So before
Papa Stroh.
Before Dr. John goes, Vinny, we thoroughly enjoyed having you. We would like to have you back anytime. We'd like to do a part two with you, maybe get into some other stuff that you've done. If we do some research on your page, talk to you about that. Would you be down for that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, anytime you guys want to bring me on, I'd be honored and glad to do it.
Awesome. Dr. John,
close us out, buddy. I got to close this out because we all got to get away from Never Never Land. We got to get back to work. We got to do what we do because on Sunday nights we do what we really love, which is pro wrestling interviews. We'll see you next week. We'll have another great interview. You know, who knows, but Velvet and I are going to cook up some great things for next week. Thanks a lot to everybody.
Absolutely.
And just remember, Carolina Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame, April the 3rd, Holy City Brewing Company, Charleston, South Carolina. We'll be in touch with everybody through the week. Take care. Love you guys a lot.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Big hugs.
Bye.